We'll go right back to the phones where Brian from Westchester, New York, listening on Sirius XM Radio, is ready to come on. So what is your question, Brian?
Hi, Tom and Jimmy. Appreciate the show. I was listening, I believe, yesterday to a discussion about the non-negotiables, moral principles as it relates to politics.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And, you know, I was just having trouble grappling, you know, with what seemed to be the message that seemed a little bit more simplistic than I thought the Catholic Church, or, you know, maybe there's a debate within the Catholic Church, but if, you know, say one candidate who has a position that is in opposition to a moral teaching of the Catholic Church, which I, you know, could understand that teaching and accept that teaching fully as a Catholic, but the other bigger picture behind that candidate is such that leads a voter to believe that, you know, world peace would be endangered, or they're incompetent, or they do not have the temperament to lead the most powerful nation on earth. I mean, isn't it always kind of a choice between the lesser of two evils, or of imperfect candidates? And, you know, I just was having trouble grappling with the idea that seemed to be coming across the airwaves that just because a candidate has one position that is consistent with the Catholic Church on a moral teaching and the other candidate does not, that that the Catholic should be obligated to vote for that person, regardless of the greater picture.
Thank you, Brian.
You know, of that candidate. So, Jimmy, how
do we negotiate that balance between the non-negotiables and the lesser evil?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I don't know what program Brian was listening to. I don't know anybody who would say, now maybe they were running short of time, or maybe they misexpressed themselves, but I don't know anyone who would say that you can, that just because a candidate has one point of agreement with the Catholic Church, whereas another candidate doesn't, that you therefore must vote for the first candidate. There are a lot of, that would be to reduce everything down to a single issue, and what's that issue going to be? There are multiple issues that have to be taken into account when looking at candidates and deciding who to vote for. Now, the non-negotiable issues are very important ones. There's one in which there should be no ambiguity. And obviously, if someone is, as a candidate, is opposing the church on any of those issues, that's a very serious strike against that candidate. It doesn't mean that there are no circumstances under which one could vote for a candidate that's wrong on one of the non-negotiables. I can easily think of examples where there are. Suppose candidate A is pro-abortion. Well, that's really bad. But suppose candidate B, the only viable alternative to candidate A, suppose candidate B is both pro-abortion and pro-homosexual marriage. Well, that's worse than just being pro-abortion. And so in that circumstance, in order to prevent the worst candidate from getting into office, it would be morally legitimate to vote for the former candidate. So simply because a particular candidate is opposed to the church on a fundamental moral matter doesn't mean that there are no circumstances in which one can vote for that candidate. On the other hand, that doesn't mean that we can easily vote for candidates who are opposed to the church on weighty non-negotiable issues, and some issues are weightier than others. One of the weightiest issues, and frankly, other than let's start a nuclear war, one of the most weighty issues I can think of is abortion, because abortion kills a third of all Americans. A third. That's a vast number of abortions. It's more than gets killed in war. It's more than gets killed by hunger. It's more than gets killed by terrorism. It's more than gets killed by all of those put together.
Astonishing.
And so this is kind of among moral issues. This is sort of the black hole that outmasses huge number of other issues put together. The only thing I can think of that could potentially be of greater weight would be, let's start a nuclear war that's going to kill more than a third of Americans. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that would be really bad. But as far as I know, there aren't any pro-nuclear war candidates running. And I know that various people out there may try to imply that another candidate is going to start a nuclear war or something. That's an old tactic that goes all the way back to Barry Goldwater. Right. In the 1960s.
The famous television spot.
Yeah, and but and back during the 60s, there was an even greater chance of nuclear war than there is today, but thus far, no candidate has started a nuclear war. So you kind of got to take the attacks that are made on people with a degree of salt, because frankly, both sides lie. You know, it's, we have a really terrible political class these days. It's hard to find anybody to respect. There are some exceptions, but both in American politics, both sides will lie, and you have to recognize that and filter that out when you're dealing with their campaign promises and their attacks on their opponents.
Yes, it's the nature of that sport, and so a lot of people out there spend a lot of time listening to the political radio channels, and I would just encourage people to spend more time with Catholic Answers Live, where no lies are told, and a steady diet of truth, beauty, and goodness is given out by apologists like Jimmy Akins. Thank you very much for the call, Brian.